This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
If you would, just go on with me to James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5. Yes, Dr. James. Amen. We're going to read verses. We'll start reading at verse 13. I guess we can read the entire to parade and peruse around verse to verse from 13 to 20. How about that? Parade and peruse the periphery of those verses. I believe that there's a word from God in those that are, that is significant to this house and this place, to this people at this time. Amen. How many know we're at an appointment with God right now? Amen. Don't miss your appointments. You don't miss your doctor's appointments. Don't miss your appointment with God. Amen. When you have James chapter 5 and you're looking at verse 13, say, I have the word and I'm ready to receive it. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sin. Glory to his name. Prayer. The first step to revival. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. When we look at the epistle of James, we understand first off that James wrote it. But there were so many, James was a common name. It is the Hebrew name Jacob or Jacob. James was an apostle. We know this. But there was also another apostle by the name of James. There was another disciple. They called him James the Less. You had James, the son of Zebedee, John's brother. But guess what? None of these that I just named is the James that wrote this epistle. James, this James is the brother of Jesus. It's funny that he was not in the number of the 12. Oh. But he was an apostle. Isn't that something? This James did not even believe that his own brother was the son of the living God until after he resurrected, and he didn't believe because they said it, but when he appeared to him and had a conversation. You know, and a lot of people give Thomas a hard time because he didn't believe, but you got to understand who these folks was before Jesus. They wasn't all that good, kind of like us. Peter lied and cussed and went back to it after he had been with Jesus a while. They scattered and left him. So it was hard to believe a whole bunch of stuff, just like we and the church today because we don't have the relationship we should have with God. A lot of things are hard to believe. So God has to show us himself. And so I'm not going to pick on James for not believing until after. Better late than never. Because sometimes we don't believe until after. If you tell the truth, a whole bunch of stuff that we said we prayed for and had faith for, we didn't do. We didn't have the faith that we were supposed to have. We had all kinds of doubts in our heart and in our mind. But God blessed us. And after, you couldn't tell us nothing. Amen here. Amen. And so in order for us to really get to a place where we are going to be revived, because if you just take a check of the climate of society, you'll find out that we have backslidden almost, and I ain't going to say the furthest away than mankind has ever been, but we are on our way to going back. Yes. Amen? Yes. Because there was a time when they were so evil that God had to create a flood to wash them away. Yes. Amen? And so we're not there yet, but guess what he said? Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the what? End. And so if it's going to be that way in the end, I know we've been praying, God, change this and don't let it get that bad. But you know what? It ain't nothing going to change that. God said it. Jesus said it in Matthew 24. And so if he said it in Matthew 24, we can bank on it happening. I was talking to a sister not long ago, and she was saying, oh, our church is praying that God just turn this around. It's going to get better. I say, sister, it's not going to get better. Well, I don't believe that. I say, you don't have to, but Jesus already said it. Yeah. Amen? Yes, and so since society is getting worse, one thing that we definitely need as a remnant, as the church, is that we must pray. Amen. Amen. And prayer is so important. Prayer was so important to our elders that they went from house to house. Prayer was so important to our elders that they came to church just to pray. Prayer was so important to those of our grandmothers and our grandfathers. It was so important that that's what they did all day long. Oh, but now we're too busy to pray. Now we don't have time to pray. Now we don't pray because we think everything's going to be all right anyway. So we don't have to spend that much time praying. Amen? You know, we used to say back in the day, if you pray, you'll stay. If you fast, you'll last. And if you're humble, you won't stumble. Right. Amen. But we got to get to a place where we pray now. Because, you know, what has happened, I guarantee you, many of the people who used to be the prayer warriors of the church, they're going on home. I guarantee you the person who prays the most at the church, if you ask them if their prayer life is where sister or brother so-and-so's prayer life was before they left here, they'll say, no, I can't pray like them. Because we've lost something. Prayer is almost a lost art for a Christian. Because what we've done, we have replaced our prayer with praise. Everything that had breath can praise. But not everybody can pray. Because God won't hear everybody. I wish I had. Y'all hear me today? So we got to stop replacing prayer with everything else. We replace prayer with programs. We replace prayer with business meetings. Come on and say amen. We replace prayer with all kinds of stuff that don't pray. When it's time to pray, we talk, we whisper, we write notes. We don't write them no more. We text across the room. Stuff like that when it's time to pray. Prayer is important. And we've replaced prayer. We've substituted prayer with naming it and claiming it, calling it and hauling it, blabbing it and grabbing it. That's what you don't pray. I don't have to pray. I just call it. I just call those things that be not as though they were. If Abraham had not have prayed, that would not have happened in his life. And you got to remember who called those things that be not. It was God that called it. Oh, come on and say amen. So when we look at prayer is so important. Anybody know prayer is important? Yes. Prayer is important for your Christian life. You will not survive the next wave of evil if you don't learn how to pray. Oh, my God. Jesus even tells us man ought to always pray and not to what? Faint. The problem is that we only pray when we have trouble. We only pray when things are not going our way. We only pray when somebody done lied on us. And if that's the least of your troubles, you ought to not be worried about that. There ain't no need in praying about what they lied about, because half of what they said might be true anyway, but it ain't no need in crying about that. No need in praying about something like that. Something more, you need to pray about somebody being saved. What happened to the saints that used to call folks' name out at the altar that when they wasn't saved, they would pray? What happened to the saints that when they had when we had mourners benches and they had folks lined up on the mourners benches, you had to choose somebody that you thought was a prayer warrior to pray for you? What happened? Do anybody even look for those people anymore? No, we don't look for the person who prays the most. We look for the person who pays the most. If we can get something out of them. Preachers included, we look for other stuff. We don't look for people to pray. We look for people, to, like I said, to pay or to just stay and do what we want them to do. But prayer is important. And if we don't pray, it's not going to be anything left of the church. God will have a little remnant left because he always got a remnant. But if we pray, we can make some changes in the way things are going in society. Society's going backwards. I know we think that this kind of thing had never happened before, but yeah, it has. Jesus said that, amen? And so when we understand prayer is communicating with God. But look, prayer is not a monologue, it is a dialogue. Prayer is not a monologue, it is a dialogue. In other words, it's just like the church here when I say something, you say, yeah, that's right. You talk back to me. That's what I love to hear, so do it a little more. But prayer is a dialogue. When you talk to God, he will talk to you. He may not say what you want him to say, but he will say what's necessary to be said. And sometimes some of the things we pray about, we say, well, I ain't heard nothing. You know why? Because some things God say, ain't no need me answering that. Not like this. I've already said it in my word. I'm not going to change what I have said. Now, I'm preaching something somebody talked about this week. I don't know who it is, but I need you to know that God says that, look, you can pray to me about stuff that's already settled, but I'm not changing my mind. God don't change, we change. And he changes us through prayer. Help me, Holy Ghost. Prayer is something that we got to do together. We got to pray together. Amen. When we start to pray together, then we begin to like each other a little more. You know why people don't like folks on this side of the church, don't like folks on that side of the church? Because they don't pray together. I guarantee you make them pray together and watch how they start liking each other. We don't pray together. The reason why you can't stand the choir director and you don't like them is because you can't pray with them. Come on and say amen. Reason why you don't like the pastor is because you don't want to pray with him. Help me, Holy Ghost. We got to get to a place where we start praying with one another. And when we pray together, then we'll stay together. Amen. And the Bible even tells us that where two or three are gathered in my name, then I'm God in the midst. He's in the midst of us when we gather up. And what are we doing? We're talking to him. We're trying to get to him. We're trying to have a conversation with him. Amen. Oh, the Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight and 2, 10,000. Now, you got 10,000 problems, and you don't want to pray with somebody, so keep your problems. Help me, Holy Ghost. Am I here today? Am I preaching what you want to hear? Even if you don't, I'm going to preach it. All I got. Amen. The prayer is the first step to revival. Now, James begins to talk, and he talks about some of the same stuff that I just talked about. He talked about us having patience and being able to endure, us not having grudges with one another, us speaking what the prophet has already spoke, even in affliction and having patience during that. Amen. He talks about all of that, but then he goes on to say, let your yea be yea, your nay be nay. Don't lie. Just do what you're supposed to do. Amen. You ain't got to swear and you ain't got the cuss to say to get your point across. You just say it, pray it, and go on. Amen? Amen. Then in verse 13, I'm going to try to get to it now. In verse 13, he says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Yeah. Now, the first thing I want you to understand that there are some circumstances that you must pray in. So he says, first off, if is any afflicted? The word afflicted means to endure hardships. If any of you have any hardships, he says, you ought to pray. You know, we always look for somebody else to pray for us. I've been going through, and Pastor, you can see, I can't hold my head up. I've been sitting out there like this, and you ain't asked me what's wrong with me. You ain't tried to come pray for me. You ain't even called me. You ain't tried to see what it is. You ain't been praying for me because I ain't heard you pray. Don't you know the pastor prays anyway? If he don't call you and pray for you, he's still praying for you. Amen. But he says, if any afflicted, if you're going through hardships, James tells us that you need to pray. Yeah. Now, we don't feel like praying when we go through. We don't feel like opening up our mouth and telling God nothing because it's just too hard and it's too painful and people just don't know. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody understand what I'm dealing with. You can say that, but you don't know how bad they treat me. You can be happy, but I can't let it go. That's why you can't let it go, because you can't pray. If you really pray and you holding a grudge and you really pray and you get in God's presence, you start realizing that God could have held a grudge against you. But thanks be to God, because I pray. Now I understand that God, you have forgiven me, so I have no right not to forgive others. Preach. We need to understand here that prayer is so important, that when you're going through hardships, the only way you can make it is by prayer. You can't make it by your good looks. You can't make it by your intelligence. You can't make it by who you kin to. Because let me tell you something that I know that I don't care if you kin to Jesus, by his mother Mary, you're going to have some afflictions and some hardships in life. You're going to have some hardships. And if we can endure hardships, and look, notice he says afflicted. The word means to endure hardship. If I'm going through some hardships, you know how they say, look like if it ain't one thing, it's another. Well, you know what it's time to do? It's time to pray. You know how they say, well, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have none. I don't believe in luck. I believe in the blessings of the Lord, but it's time to pray. Come on and say hallelujah. You know how they say, well, look like it got a black cloud over me. I'm just in a fog. Look like things are just ain't going to go right. I don't expect nothing to go right. Then it's time to pray. Because when you pray, you start to exercise your faith. And the Bible says, Jesus said, this is written in red. He says that if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can speak unto the mountain and tell it to move. He was trying to let us know that all it takes is a little bit of this to move a whole lot of that. And so what I need to do, if I got a whole lot of junk in my way, I need to take the little bit that I got and begin to move it. You know what a mountain mover, what they call it? They call it a uke. In other words, it mows mountains down. It knocks them down little by little. And what I need to do is pray until I can see clean through my mountain. Oh, come on and say hallelujah here. Yeah, so we need to pray. Amen. We need to learn how to pray now. When we talk about prayer, there are many different types of prayer. And I wish I had time to tell you about it tonight, but I don't. But there are different types of prayer. We pray, Paul said, I pray with understanding. He said, I pray in the spirit. He said, you know, we talked about that. You got to pray the prayer of faith. You have the prayer of supplications. You have the prayer of thanksgiving. There's so many types of ways that you can pray. But one thing I know is that we need all kinds of prayer in order to make it. Amen. If you read, I believe it's Ephesians, the 6th chapter, where it talks about praying always, or using all kinds of prayer. We need to use every kind of prayer that we can to make it. You don't just have one weapon, you have many weapons. And you know, and that's why we can't keep putting down what we don't understand. If we don't understand what praying in the spirit is, don't talk about people that do. Preach. I believe it's time. I got to say this. I have to say this. We may not understand what it means to pray in the spirit, but if you pray in the natural, if you pray with your understanding, keep doing that. But don't talk about the person who's trying to pray in the spirit, because one thing you got to understand is if they pray in an unknown tongue, the Bible says, then they're praying unto God and to themselves. But then he also says that there may be a revealing of mysteries. Do you know why God lets it be a mystery that they don't even know and you don't know? Is because if you knew and they knew, then you'll mess up what God is trying to do. Because you'll try to get in the way. You'll try to fix it. You'll get mad at somebody because you know what's about to happen. And God is saying, that is a mystery. Don't mess with the mystery. But then Paul said, I pray with understanding too. Because see, our mind try to control everything that goes. When we pray, we trying to tell God how to do what he do. In our mind, sometimes our mind, we can pray from our mind. I don't care where you pray from, your paper. So I seen the deacon do that, pray from the paper. You can pray from your mind. You can pray from your memory. But I guarantee you what, your mind is so powerful that you can be praying a prayer that you've memorized, or you can be reading the prayer off the paper like he was doing, and your mind can be on something else. That's why it's important to learn to pray in the spirit. Amen? And so we pray according to as God has graced us and what he's given us. Come on and say amen. And so he says that in circumstances such as affliction, we need to be able to what? Pray. Pray for yourself. And then he says, and in Mary, let him sing song. And so even when we pray, there ought to be a cheerfulness in prayer. I don't care what's happened in your life. You need to know that once you start praying, you start feeling better. I can get up off my knees, ain't nothing changed. I still got the same problems, but I got in touch with Jesus, and it made me feel so much better. I remember they said, just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. Do you know why it makes it all right? Because he makes me all right. And so I can get up and say, well, it's all right. I don't care what's happening. It's all right. Well, you got bills due. It's all right. You got a headache, but it's all right. You need some new medicine, but it's all right. Come on and say amen. When I pray like that, when I start to pray, and I used to wonder how in the world, when the older people used to pray, when they used to pray, they would always start off praying, and they would always end up sound like they singing their prayers. Well, you know, that's biblical. Dude, look at this. He said, let him sing a song. He talked about prayer, and then he goes on and let him sing a song. In other words, I pray till I get happy. I pray. Oh, come on and say amen. You know, they used to sing that song, I sing because I'm happy. I pray because I'm happy. I start praying, and my prayer turns into something else. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. There's some more of that. I'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Amen. When we look at the next verse, he says, is any sick among you? Verse 14, any sick among you? Sickness in this circumstance, you got sickness, and that we know what sickness is. And some of us, we think sickness is only physical, but some of us got mental sickness. Some of us got emotional sickness. Oh, come on and say amen. Some of us have physical sickness, and some of us have spiritual sickness. So whatever kind of sickness you have, he said that you need to be able to get to prayer. Amen. He said, if any sick among you, because when you're sick, sometimes you can't pray for yourself. Sometimes we always talk about lay hands on your own self. Sometimes a person's so sick they can't even raise their hands. But he says that if any sick, let him call for the elders of the church. And so in sickness, we have to, even though we pray, we have to learn how to call for some help. Amen. We need to call for some reinforcements. He says, let him call for the elders of the church. And the word elder, it really means those who are seasoned in prayer, those who are seasoned around the church. It doesn't matter how old they are, because you can have some people that's about 80 years old, and they can be young spiritually, not knowing what God wants them to know. Then you can have some people that seem like they're young, but God has blessed them, and they know quite a bit. They have elders in the church. Oh, come on and say amen. They have the character of an elder. Amen. A presbyter. Amen. It a senior. They're senior in the spirit. Amen. And so he said, let them call for the elders of the church and let them what? Pray over him. Amen. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We got to use the name of the Lord. Many of us don't use the name of the Lord. We forget to call his name when we pray. Come on and say amen. But the name of the Lord, the Bible says, is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and they are saved. The Bible said that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess at that name. Do I have anybody here? And you know, the devil standing up in your life and you won't call the name, that he got to bow to the name. Hallelujah. If he's bold enough to stand up, I got something for you. You standing in my way, I call on the name of Jesus. And that name, come on and say hallelujah. He said he'll lead you in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. So even if I don't know which way to turn, I call his name and he leads me in the place that I need to be. Hallelujah. Verse 15, I'm trying to give it all to you and go fast as I can here. Verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he had committed sin, he shall be forgiven. I like that. Now, we understand there are circumstances in which we need to pray, and then there is cheerfulness in prayer. Then we need to call for others to come and what? Pray for us. But then we got to understand that there's conversion in prayer. This is why we need a revival of prayer. It's because when we pray, the situation or circumstance will change. When we pray, then we'll find ourselves getting cheerful. But also when we pray, we'll find some people being converted. If the church's mission is anything other than conversion, then our mission is wrong. We need to convert people. You know, I often talk to people about certain things, and I'm going to say this, but I'm not looking to be offensive to anybody, and people can do what they want to do, and the law can be what the law is. But I was talking to somebody, and I said, well, you know, when they was talking about the gay marriage thing, we can't ignore that. That is true. It has happened, right? And I told them, I said, well, preachers, and they were like, well, let you know, people can do what they want. We got to love them. We got to love them. We got to love them. I said, yeah, we do. We got to love them. But at the same time, if I love you enough to tell you that down the road, if you keep driving 70 miles per hour, that the road stops and it's a cliff that you're going to go off of, I don't tell them that, then I really don't love them. Right? And so when society has decided that something is not a sin, do we partake in and say we just like society? It's not. Oh, come on and say amen. The reason why it is important for us to pay attention is because when people start celebrating sin and saying it's no longer a sin, then we got a problem. You don't hear anybody call the murderer up and say, oh, good deal, man. You murdered 6 people and pat them on the back. No, but they were congratulating people, right? So we've celebrated, and that's like shaking our fists in God's face and saying, God, you're going to accept whatever we got to give you. Now, on the other hand here, we got to make sure that we keep what God say as the standard, and I'm not telling you to go condemn people and beat people down, but we have to keep what God say as a standard, because without that, there will be no conversion, because people will think that this is right according to the law of the land, and since it's right, I don't need to be saved nor converted. Oh, come on and say amen. And so if they think that they don't need conversion, and if they think that they don't need to be saved and they need a savior, and if they think they're all right, they're fooling themselves, deceiving themselves, as the Bible said, and we can't afford to let people deceive or fool themselves, because I love them enough that I want them to go to heaven with me. So therefore, I tell them that that's a sickness and you need a savior to heal you, just like I did when I was a sinner. If you don't recognize that that's a sin and you need a savior, then that is a problem. And that's why conversion is important, and that's why prayer in the church is important, because people can't be converted until somebody pray. Why do you think we always, when they come up, we go through the sinner's prayer with them? We go through the confession, confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. It's because prayer changes them.